Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Michelle Aubin and Linda Lang.
Welcome today to our episode. I'm Michelle Aubin. I teach people how to get in touch with their inner healer, and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Linda Lang. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, everyone. My name is Linda Lang. I am an intuitive healer and mentor.
And we're also joined by my amazing kitten named Captain Amazing. That's his name.
Great name.
Because he's great. So we decided today that we're going to talk about spiritual bypass and what it is and what the potential pitfalls are of spiritual bypass. And I'm going to kick us off by reading just a little blurb about it from Wikipedia. And spiritual bypass is when someone uses spiritual ideas or techniques to avoid dealing with difficult emotions or psychological traumas or unfinished developmental tasks. So that was from a Buddhist teacher, John Wellwood, in the 1980s, talked about that phrase and that issue. And so Linda and I thought that would be a great topic to dive into, because we often share what we hope are helpful techniques with people, but we also don't want to encourage the idea that it's even possible to avoid dealing with our difficult feelings. So would you agree, Linda? You have anything to add?
As you're talking, it just reminds me of the ostrich sticking their head in the sand. And I think of my own cat. I'm a cat owner as well. And how she'll hide under the sofa, just her head part, and the rest of her body is sticking out as if, you know, I can't see you, so you can't see me.
Yes.
Kind of thing. But it is that kind of energy.
Yeah.
That just because you don't acknowledge those challenging feelings that you might still be hanging on to, it doesn't mean they're not there. I know in my work all the time, I'm pulling out, you know, old issues of anger or sadness or whatever that people sometimes either thought they dealt with or didn't actually really realize still impacted them. So it is really important.
And I will confess, I know there have been times when I have actually done this. I know that there were times where I could intellectualize an issue and convince myself that it wasn't relevant anymore. And that came from fear of feeling. And so it's a tricky thing, because as I've grown and as I've released my own issues, I don't feel like I'm done. But what's different is when I have a difficult feeling, I let it flow. I don't suppress it and I don't identify with it. So I might get some sadness, or I might get some feelings, and I'm able to witness it because of the tools I use. I can witness it, not be afraid of it, talk myself through it, and it doesn't become a roadblock for me. So it's a tricky thing to talk about, but when I wasn't able to do that, before I learned those skills, I would really get like kind of hung up and like stuck in the mud of the feelings.
I love how you say witnessing the emotion, because I think that's really key. So my question to you is, when you have these uncomfortable emotions, I mean, nobody likes to feel uncomfortable emotions because they're uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right? But when we stop the flow, I mean, that energy gets stuck. So when you have that awareness that there's some, you know, uncomfortable emotion that you're processing, and you start to witness it, are you also thinking about it? Are you also saying, oh, this is an anger feeling or a sadness feeling? Or are you just feeling the feeling?
Well, at first it's probably just feeling. And then when I become aware I can say, what is this showing me? And I know you and I, Linda, talk a lot about law of attraction and how I have used law of attraction to get out of a depression and get myself to a higher and higher emotional state. And so like my new normal is pretty positive. So when I have a feeling, usually it's noticeable, a feeling that isn't that, I go, oh, there's something here. What is this? And the focusing on it in a way that is not identifying with it and saying, okay, there's something this is showing me, being willing to maybe feel it without even understanding where it comes from and allowing it. And it's not a rational thing I do. And I remember when I was in a depression, I would ruminate and I would kind of get into this like cycle of just kind of chewing on something again and again, or a memory or an interpretation of something, and making false interpretations. Okay, this memory, this bad thing that happened means this about life or means this about me. So I don't do that anymore. And that allows me to feel and to not hold on to things. I don't know if that makes any sense in terms of what you asked me, but I sort of feel like there was a time when I would get stuck on things and it wasn't helpful. And now I can look at things and not get stuck on them.
Okay, so that's the important part here, is that it's not helpful to be stuck and going over those ruminating thoughts over and over again, because it actually just ingrains that energy in your system, and also because your memory's malleable. And as you start telling yourself the same story, it's kind of like that little telephone game. I mean, the details start changing a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. And the next time you remember it, it's really the last time you thought about it, not the actual event. So I think that's a really important detail to let everyone know. The other thing that I'd like to really clarify for the audience is that this idea of spiritual bypass is maybe you pretend that you're not having a bad feeling about something, or maybe you have that bad feeling, and instead of acknowledging it or maybe trying to resolve it, you just pretend that, well, it's all divine and everything the way it is. But you know what? Everything is all divine. So I have this little dichotomy going on that maybe you can help me work out, Michelle.
I'm so glad that you're going there. I mean, because we talked a little bit before the recording. So my insight, I've given a lot of thought to spiritual bypass and what it means. And when personal development gurus give advice to people and how that advice can sometimes come across as clueless to people who are in the middle of a trauma or in the middle of processing an old trauma. And my current thought is that there is a need for different strategies at different phases of dealing with traumas. So you can say, like you just did, Linda, everything happens for a reason. But that comes from a place of realizing certain spiritual truths as we work through the lessons that are in front of us in the moment. So I'm just going to use an example. If someone's being bullied verbally, physically, at home or at work, mistreated, the job of that person, I feel, in that moment, is to muster their anger and their sense of injustice to protect themselves and possibly to protect other people from a bully, right? The job is not to sit there and go, oh, everything is as it should be. The job is to say, okay, something doesn't feel right. Trust that feeling. verbalize it, act on your behalf, act on the behalf of other people. And if someone has been in a situation for an extended period of time where that's happened, sometimes our sense of empowerment is diminished. So people growing up in a home where they were not treated well, or people have long-term romantic relationships where there's maybe an abuse going on, over time, the sense of myself as a person who can speak on my behalf can be distorted. So that the job at that time of crisis is to speak up. And it is not acting like a victim to do so. I just want to kind of put that out there into the public waters to say you are not having a victim consciousness if you're speaking on your behalf or on the behalf of someone else to stop mistreatment.
So were you ever bullied in school, Michelle?
Oh, yes. Yes. There are many stories I have of feeling mistreated. I can speak now from a place of empowerment because I've learned those things and I didn't learn them when I was young. I learned them as an adult, working through these feelings and sort of the post-traumatic mindset that people get in. And so part of the post-traumatic mindset is learning, I feel, and I'm not a therapist, so this is all just me talking from my own experience and other people who shared their experiences with me. And part of it is learning to feel like, okay, something doesn't feel right, and trusting that feeling, and I deserve to be treated better, and I'm gonna negotiate this with people. And if they don't respect me, I'm going to leave the situation so I can be safe. There's also the risk that people are in such pain and they want to feel better and they say, well, I'm just going to get this crystal so I can feel better, or I'm going to go to this workshop so I feel better, or read this book. And without processing the actual feelings, those tools won't work.
So, Michelle, I'm a little curious as to how you would advise people with the law of attraction, because there are so many teachings, again, that will say focus on what you want and not what appears real if you want to create something better in your life. So how do you marry those kind of teachings with the idea of spiritual bypass, or is the law of attraction just a big giant spiritual bypass?
Wow, what a question. Okay, if someone came to me and said, I'm going through something and I don't know how to deal with it and someone's treating me badly, I would not say to go watch a law of attraction video. I would say, who do you need to talk to feel safe? Does the environment need to change so that you can be safe, right? Whatever the environment is, home situation, work, whatever. And of course, not being a therapist, do you need therapy? Whatever that is. That's sort of like triage, right? Someone's bleeding, you're not going to say, practice law of attraction. You're going to say, go to a hospital. You're having a heart attack, go to the hospital, right? So there's that issue, like, where in the crisis are you? What stage of the crisis? If a friend says to me, well, I've been dealing with this issue for years, I don't know how to get over it, then that might be appropriate. This is an old issue. It keeps coming up. I don't know how to work through it. I don't understand how I keep replaying this scenario in my life. That's a very different situation.
I do think that it's such a fascinating topic, yeah, and loaded with a little bit of dynamite, because we do both believe in the law of attraction, and yet you also have to to be where you are. So I think of Esther Hicks and Abraham and how they've created a scale of emotions.
Yes.
And how you can't go, you know, from down here to, you know, having shame to up here to being in joy, that you have to kind of bump up emotion at a time.
Yeah.
So that it's a little bit more doable for your consciousness to actually make that leap. And that as you make that leap, then your environment will automatically start to change. So a little bit different.
Well, I'm going to link them though, because the other part of what they say when they talk about that ladder of emotion is that if you are in joy and you're looking at someone who's in anger, you cannot know if that anger is helpful or harmful to someone, because maybe the anger is better than depression and despair and hopelessness. So if someone's in a situation and they're being mistreated, maybe anger is the best thing.
Maybe anger is.
Right. But hopefully you don't stay in anger, because there is a better feeling place than anger, but anger will help you with momentum.
Exactly. There's a lot of energy to anger, and sometimes it's the perfect emotion to motivate change, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a student of Huna shamanism. We have 36, they're called assumptions, and there's a lot in there about attraction, attracting mm-hmm. energy, repelling energy, but fundamentally, we are taught that we need to do our own work, that we need to kind of deal with all those kind of old pain and sufferings, the emotions that we're hanging on to, any limiting beliefs, because that actually forms the foundation that our consciousness builds from. So mm-hmm. if we are holding on to victimhood and pain and grief and jealousy, whatever is back there, then it's like there's a crack in our foundation that we need to do that work. And then we find our resilience and our empowerment. And it's there for us when we need it in our life situations, whatever it is that you need to do to take control of your actions and reactions.
Right. And in my journey, I have come to understand through working through all of those layers within myself and all of the perceptions of my life, you know, moving from feeling traumatized by certain things, feeling like, why did this happen to me, to being angry at the law of attraction, like that's, you know, makes no sense, to, I've shared on this podcast with you, using the law of attraction to feel better. I've come to understand that those instances were actually a gift to learn about what I was creating. And I have more thinking to do on this. It's a rich topic.
Yeah, me too. At that, I think we better sign off. And I look forward to another great conversation.
I do too. Thanks, Linda.
Bye for now, everyone.